Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini-talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Wednesday morning, day two of Java 1 2007. We're at the Java.net Community Corner, and we're beginning our mini-talks this morning. And we'd like to kick off this morning today with making music with Java in parenthetically for dummies. And the speaker today will be Hirtan Vilenha. And Hirtan, if I'm mispronouncing your name, sorry about that. But why don't you make some music for us?
It's a really good attempt. Can you hear me? Yes. So my name is Hirtan. I am a technical writer for the NetBeans team in Prague. And today I'm going to talk about making music for dummies. So here is our agenda. So the first point we'll talk about is how much of a dummy can you be? So what kind of absolute nothing background can you have to create music? The second point we'll talk about is how little of a dummy can you become? So what is the range of people that might be interested in this approach to creating music? Thirdly, for these two types of audiences, what kind of tooling support is needed? And we'll look at some demands that tooling support has on both these types of audiences. And then there'll be some demos for the absolute dummy, for the sort of medium person, and somebody who's developed beyond that. Finally, there are some underlying surprises in the tooling support that I'll show you. And when I say tooling support, it sounds very abstract right now, but just now you see what I mean. Then I'll talk about a project on dev.java.net that you can go to and you can get what I will be talking about, and there'll be some announcements at the end. So firstly, how much of a dummy can you be when it comes to wanting to create music? So you want to create music, and first of all, you don't know anything about the Java Sound API. You don't know anything about MIDI programming. That's your first barrier. Secondly, you don't know anything about programming, even. Not only do you not know the Java Sound API, not only do you not know MIDI programming, you don't even know programming. And thirdly, you don't even know what music is. So this is your dilemma. You basically want to be either Mozart or Beethoven, yet you don't know anything about the required API or programming or music. So that's how much of a dummy one can be when it gets to wanting to create music. Now the other scale, on the other end of the scale, is the expert programmer. But even the expert programmer is frustrated with the Java Sound API. So if you're the absolute dummy thinking, what on earth is a Java Sound API? The people who know what the Java Sound API is wish that they didn't. Secondly, even the expert musician needs a scratch pad to quickly put together some music as a kind of draft. And the expert, even on the far end of the scale, just like the absolute dummy in the beginning of that scale, wants to be some kind of Mozart or Beethoven. So that fundamental desire for quality music is still the same. So what kind of tooling is needed? So say you know nothing about programming, nothing about music. So first of all, no coding, right? You're not a programmer. You don't want to touch the code. You don't want to see an API. You don't even know what an API is. Secondly, you want lots of wizards to guide you through the process. So the first panel will say something, and you'll choose something, and the second panel will say something, and you'll choose something, and at the end, you'll have a certain amount of music done. Thirdly, a drag-and-drop interface. So for the absolute dummy, without any knowledge of the API, without any knowledge of programming, without any knowledge of music, having notes and instruments in a palette that they can drag-and-drop onto a music sheet is something that would attract them to this, to composing music. And you want lots of feedback. You want to see things visually, and you want to hear things. And it has to be fun. Otherwise, you lose interest quite quickly. For the
absolute expert on the other end of the scale, what do they want? So they want the full range of music requirements met. So if you bring them some kind of tool for creating music that caters to the absolute beginner and doesn't have the more advanced features that a music tool would require, the expert person will say, well, forget it, I'll take something that is more advanced. Also, the ability to change as well as create. So the absolute beginner wants to create music, but a more advanced person might want to open an existing music file. So you have tracks on the CD. They might want to open those tracks, and they've listened to some really bad music artists for a very long time. They want to improve that music, and I could give some examples, but I don't want to get sued by some really bad music artist. Also, they want to be able to extend the tool. That's the other thing. They might have special needs for their special environment, and they want to be able to extend that. So that's something they want as well. And something right at the bottom of everything else, they will want the MIDI API, the Java Sound API for MIDI programming, to be vastly simpler. And at the end of it all, they also want a certain amount of fun, although that requirement is significantly lower for the absolute expert. So, some demos to show you right away what we're talking about. So for the absolute dummy, without any knowledge whatsoever, I'm just going to close down my slides for a second so that you can fully enjoy this. So the absolute dummy, not knowing anything about the Java Sound API, not knowing anything about programming, not knowing anything about coding, not wanting to know anything about an IDE because I'm going to code, will just see this. And on the right-hand side, they see an instruments window with lots and lots of instruments. And they will think, that looks fun. What happens if we go there and we click on it? So they click on it, and they see, for example, that it says sample. So they say, excellent. I don't know if you can hear that, but let's try the trumpet. Right-click on that. So there's a very, very, very long list of instruments here. There's also sound effects that are quite fun. So you right-click, and then you choose sample, and let's see if we can hear this. And there's applause as well. I don't think we can hear that. Maybe a helicopter. So the fun factor is clearly there. The fun factor is clearly present in this simple user interface. That's enough for this part. So, after playing around, anyway, so at this stage, they might want to actually compose some music. So you can then select a note in the toolbar above the music sheet. So you select something, and then you click it on the music sheet. And as you can see, we have here a bar of music. And you might now be panicking and thinking, what's going to happen when we get to the end of this bar, you know? Are things going to blow up? Well, let's find out. And immediately we get a new bar for the next part of our music sheet. So we can click play. Which isn't exactly Mozart or Beethoven yet, but at least you have the tools to get there. There's also a button here. There's a button here that says save. And we press save. And here we see we have a new MIDI file. Now, any normal MIDI player can play our MIDI file. So what we have here very simply is a way to generate MIDI files from this music notepad. Something else that we talked about earlier is that the absolute complete dummy might also want a wizard to guide them through the initial stages of creating their music. So we right-click here and we choose New. And we see here we have a wizard. So let's assume that we have a title. Mary had a little lamb. We have some choices here. We could choose a clef. We could choose a key signature, a rhythm count. We could choose our units, the tempo, the volume. And then we click Finish. And we have a new music sheet. And each music sheet can be played independently. And ultimately, what the aim of this project is that the music sheets can be played together, so that in one music sheet, you might want to create the piece for the trumpet. And in the other music sheet, you would create the piece for the piano, for example. And then you would press play on this toolbar, on the higher toolbar, and then those various voices will be played together. So that is an aim for the longer-term future. So you can see that we have the full scale of notes here. We have a variety of rests. We can play and save. We have flats and sharps. We can go forward and backward in our music. We can, as shown, we can right-click and choose a new instrument. We can play samples. We can begin creating something completely new in a wizard. So all the basic requirements of the absolute beginner are catered for. So remember, the absolute beginner here is somebody who doesn't know about the Java Sound API, hasn't done any MIDI programming, isn't even a programmer, isn't even a musician. So that person, having worked through the wizard, having used all these instruments, having dragged and dropped, or actually selected and pointed, can in that way begin experimenting with music and playing with it. So that is the kind of current status for the absolute beginner. But now for the slightly more advanced person. The slightly more advanced person has an additional window. And you see here we have this additional window. And firstly you see we have a volume setting, we have a speed setting, we have an instrument specification here, so we're playing with the acoustic grand piano here, and we also have the note, and it's an E, and here we have the duration, the S, and we have the 5 indicating the octave. So let's drop something else. So we select it, we drop it, and as it drops, we can hear the sound. But you can also see the string being added. Okay, so we drop it, and as it drops, you get the immediate feedback. But at the same time, the slightly more advanced person can look in this window and see the string that is being generated. The absolute beginner has no interest in this window. But somebody slightly more advanced might look at this window and think, hey, what's going on here? And the answer to that question is that we have here a J-fugue music string being generated. And later on, we'll talk more about J-fugue and what that means. But for the middle-level person, all that they need to be interested in is this J-fugue music string. And the ultimate aim is for the music sheet and this generated J-fugue music string window to be synchronized, so that if you were to manually type in a note in that window, a note would be added onto the music sheet. But it's not really a very high-level requirement, because few people would be composing music by typing notes manually in a window, especially when they have a visual designer to do the same thing. But more work needs to be done on synchronizing these two windows with each other. So that is the medium-level programmer. He would look at this window, and he would, from the documentation, find out that this is a J-fugue music string, and would then discover what each of those parts of the syntax mean. Now, for the even more advanced person, this person would want to extend this. So, under the Tools menu, you see that we have here an Update Center. So, you can choose this Update Center. And if somebody has created modules to extend this application, that could be visible in this screen, and then you could select a module. So for example, somebody might create a Google toolbar. So this Google toolbar you would select and you would add it to the application, and then you would maybe need inspiration in the middle of composing music. And you would think, well, what would Mozart do in this situation? And you would type in Mozart in the text field, and you would press enter, and then the browser would open, and you would find yourself in some major Mozart piece and copy and paste something into your own work of art. So in this way, you can very easily extend this application. Either these modules could be provided by yourself, or these modules could be provided by others. And these modules are a certain kind of module, and these modules are called NetBeans modules, because this is the basis of this application. Underlying this music string generating application is the NetBeans platform. But the absolute beginner need not know that. The middle level person who is just generating strings and maybe looking at the syntax need not know that. But the advanced person might be interested to know that underneath this music application is a NetBeans platform, which allows you to extend your application using this update center. This is just one example. This update center is one of the modules that is typical to NetBeans IDE itself. So if you have NetBeans IDE open, you go under the tools menu and you see the update center. So that very same update center I have in this music application. So what you would do in the later stages of creating an application of this kind is you would look at NetBeans IDE and you would think, which parts of this IDE do I like? Which parts can I reuse in my own application? And then you can take the bits and pieces that suit you and just add them to your own application. Another good example is the favorites window. This is basically a file chooser. So you can add files to NetBeans IDE using this favorites window. But in the context of the music application, that could be useful too. And if you select here, you see here we have something called MIDI files, right? And it has my home directory, and I can right-click, and it says Find MIDI files. And then I can look for my MIDI files and open them inside my application. But this MIDI files window is nothing more than this favorites window in NetBeans IDE with the strings replaced. So I've simply said, I like the favorites window. I don't like it being called favorites window. I don't like it when it says here, add favorites. I want it to say, add MIDI files. I've simply taken that module, replaced the strings, and extended my application in this way. So this is what is meant by modular programming in the NetBeans world. So now back to the slides. Okay, so those were the demos. So the absolute beginner has a visual designer for dragging and dropping stuff, for generating music using a wizard. The more advanced person can look at the window and see the syntax and tweak it and learn from the JFugue site what that syntax means. You could see that there was coloring as well. So you can kind of work out that each part is slightly different and it means something different because syntax coloring has been provided for that. And for the expert person, who not only is an expert musician but an expert programmer, there's the possibility of adding modules from NetBeans IDE or from anywhere else, from any other application, to this application. So an underlying surprise. So NetBeans 5.5 was the basis of what you saw here, right? In NetBeans 6, there is a massive improvement to the platform. So you can right-click on a tab and choose undock. So if I right-click on here, I can't choose undock. But in NetBeans 6, there's something that says undock window, which has this effect, that I can drag my music sheets not just within the frame of the whole application, but outside of that entire frame. So imagine I have multiple monitors. I could have one music sheet over here and one over there, and I could be composing here and there. And the underlying surprise of this is that you would have had to do no programming for that functionality because it comes with the platform. So you could see that the underlying infrastructure of your application develops in its own track, and your application on top of it develops in its own track, and whenever there's a new release of that track, then you move your application on top of the new release, and then you go, wow, I have all this new functionality, and I didn't do anything for it. And that's a general benefit of a platform. But in the case of NetBeans, I'm obviously biased since I work for NetBeans, so let me come out and say that. But in the case of NetBeans, it's a really powerful and useful and really modular-oriented. And plus, if you're a Swing developer, there really is nowhere else you can go but to the NetBeans platform. So this application that you saw, I mean, I've basically shown you everything that it has, which is pretty limited. It's clearly quite limited. But what it does do, it does do. So it works for what it does. Ultimately, it should do a lot more. So one reason why I'm here is hoping that people will be interested in joining the project. A lot of the work done on this, on the current status of the application, was done by a guy in Belgium who I found after I open-sourced the project. So I thought, well, it's time that I put my application on java.net because I can put it in their CVS, and if things go wrong on my system, then that's okay because it's safe over there. But at the same time, at some point, they started writing about my application, and some guy in Belgium, who actually was a musician, and like me, he's just a bit of a hack programmer, wrote to me and said, hey, you know, I heard about this project. I need a music composer, which is kind of the direction where you're going. Could I contribute? And the answer was obviously yes. And he brought it to the point where it is now, mostly during his vacations and so on. So we need more people working on this project. So if you go to nbjfuguesupport.dev.java.net, you will be able to get it too. You can download it. It's free. You can extend it, which is the whole point. So join the project. Use the application, submit bug reports, join the mailing list, contribute code, and even if you are not much of a coder or a programmer, but you are a musician, it would be great to hear from you because your ideas could push the application further. And my final slide, the announcements. So there's actually a related book. If you want to create an application similar to this, but maybe for a complete different purpose, not music, but something completely different, but use the NetBeans platform as its basis. So you can reuse these modules. For example, you might need an update center in your desktop application. You might need a file browser type window, like the favorites window, and so on. The book was released in the last couple of days. I literally had it in my hands the first time on Friday last week. It's in the bookstore, and we're signing it tomorrow from 10:30 to 11. And there are two related sessions. So I've really talked about the application, but if you come to the session at 10:55 tomorrow, room 105, you'll hear about the API. I've said nothing about the API. The guy that was sitting there and left, he's the guy behind the API, and he will talk about what he's done to improve MIDI, really. And there's another session on modular programming, more general. Basically, from there, you'll be pointed to come to the bookstore, because right after that, we will have our book signing. So thank you very much for your time, and buy the book.
Thank you, Hirtan. Thank you. That was very impressive. Very impressive. How to make music with Java, even as a dummy, and all built upon the NetBeans platform. Stay tuned, folks. The next mini talk in the community corner will be binding components, OpenJBI components. It'll be at noon, and Rulong Chen will be speaking. Hirtan, thank you again.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at booth 408 on the pavilion floor or visit the homepage at www.java.net for all our Java 1 updates.